This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Well, hello everyone and welcome back. It's another special episode of Lucha Undead Reborn Season 2 or 3 here on the PTBN Pop Network. And it's part of our series of Get to Know the PTBN PWO Wrestling with Words edition. And I mean, if we're going to do Wrestling with Words, I figured we got to start at the source. We'll go with the man who created the website. So tonight we've got Mr. Trask Bryant. Trask, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. It kind of sucks, though, since I'm a completely disinteresting person, aside from the fact that I run the site and am into professional wrestling. Aside from that, I have done a few side projects, but I don't even have that many hobbies aside from wrestling. Wrestling is my life, and I'm not embarrassed to say such, because I am a mark.
Yeah, so you're literally, like, the worst candidate for this show, I guess, because not only that, I mean, you're super young. So you don't
exactly.
Even have
what the hell is this demographic? Why'd you bring me on in the first place? I don't understand.
It doesn't make any sense. So Trask, seriously though, I mean, you're not even 18. You have this website going. It's not even your first website, honestly, covering, you know, wrestling and grappling and MMA and all this. You're actually, you know, get some buzz. People kind of know who you are, know the website, which is fantastic for a guy your age. So, I mean, what was kind of the inspiration? How did a lot of kids your age, a lot of people your age in general, don't do anything at all? Why? What was it that pushes you to make you want to have this website and do all this, you know, extra work that you do?
Originally, like a few years back, I was kind of more of a, you know, smark. Everybody knows that term. We're on Place to Be Nation. Most of the people are going to be wrestling fans. So I was basically a huge smark. I created a YouTube channel, which was a horrible idea at the time. My ideas slowly progressed. I kind of got better as a critical thinker in wrestling and not just saying John Cena sucks or, you know, this and that because I'm being worked. But yeah, over the years, I kind of progressed. I went from having a small YouTube channel that was awful where I do nothing but rant at the age of like 14, 15 to actually getting on my first site, which via Lawrence O'Brien at LOB_3, who's on Wrestling with Words, which was Phoenix Plex Review. That unfortunately came to a conclusion in December. I left that. I made Wrestling with Words. The past 8 months, I've just been typing, podcasting away at whatever I could get my hands on. Tried to build a really fun, you know, roster of people. I think I have, and I've even managed to bring you aboard. It's been a really fun ride. We'll definitely get, you know, into more stuff. But yeah, that's basically the premise. I mean, I just kind of built up a pyramid of experience and kind of transitioned that to, you know, make my own site and invite my friends on. So,
well, it's interesting to hear because, I mean, you're essentially one of these thousands of kids that I need that have YouTube channels where they're just kind of talking about WWE. That's where you started out, right? Am I getting that correct?
Yep. It got to the point where I'd make videos on Brodus Clay going to TNA.
And then from there, God, that. What's insane about that is that feels like that wasn't that long ago to me. And then for you, I mean, that was years ago. That was such a long time ago. You've developed and came along so much since then. But for me, I feel like that happened a couple of years ago. I mean, I remember the Shake Them Ropes interview with Brodus Clay was around the same time that he was leaving. It feels like that was, you know, a couple months ago. So that's kind of insane that you've came so far so fast. And obviously, yeah, like Wrestling with Words, I'm involved with the website now. I've talked about it here and there on the podcast. All I've done so far is one review, and we're going to have some more interesting stuff coming out here soon. I guess the biggest official thing to hype is the BoJack Horsecast. That's the most kind of concrete thing we could talk about right now that's definitely going to get put together here within the next couple weeks. So I guess the next step in this, especially on this interview, is have you now or have you ever been a member of the PWO board?
I have recently signed up in the last few months, so yes.
Okay. And what's your username over there?
Trask, straight up.
Just Trask. Okay, perfect. I like that about you, Trask. All of your usernames, all of your handles everywhere are just Trask. I mean, it is a unique name, so you don't have to worry about other people having it.
Let me explain something. So what? I'm going to cut a shoe promo on the stupid shoe company because they have the Trask at. You know, I've tried to do this for months now. And they have this damn shoe company that's named Trask that has that Twitter at. And it pisses me off because all they do is just promote sales and have a bunch of inactivity on that account. So they need to, you know, hand that account over to a, you know, virtual connoisseur of Twitter.com.
I have a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
When your computer crashes, do you open up the Trask Manager?
Oh, I wish. I mean, I should contact Windows. We should get a sponsorship going. I don't know. Not a big name yet.
Jesus Christ.
I had to get it in there. Sorry. You know me, Tim.
It's just super, super cringy, honestly. But, you know, what are you going to do? It's Adrian.
It's anti-humor.
Yeah. So, Phoenix Plex review. I mean, I had heard stuff here and there. I didn't ever even get around to really reading any reviews over there. How long was that even going? I mean, was Phoenix Plex review went longer than I was even aware of it?
It went from WrestleMania 32. Lawrence wrote his first review about WrestleMania. It went all the way to December. So about the same time as this site now, almost approaching. This is approaching the same time as Phoenix Plex has been alive. And recently, I mean, by the time this is out, we've hit 250k views in well, page visits, whatever you want to call it, in 8 months, which is pretty cool. So,
That is cool. So Phoenix Plex review really was just getting started when it kind of disappeared.
Yeah, we really were starting to hit our stride. A bunch of names started to take notice. I kind of tend to think that it was kind of just like a startup and then that transition into Wrestling with Words and some assets. The only one really bad thing is the fact that one of our staff members on Phoenix Plex passed away in December, right before he was supposed to do a podcast with me on, you know, the History of the JHC podcast, which you know of. Andy Doran was supposed to do that, but he unfortunately, collapsed outside of a gym and passed away, which really sucks and it still stings to this day, so.
Yeah, and that's something that I had heard, you know, just a little bit about because I wasn't necessarily super close with anybody. Like I said, I was familiar with your guys' existence. I would go to the website and read, I think, maybe a thing or two here, but I never really was in-depth. And I'm really bad about looking at bylines and usernames and stuff like that in general, so I never really ever even remember who wrote what. But that was definitely a major bummer when I heard about that, and then you guys are announcing the new website and kind of, I think, was it you? It was either you or someone else put out a really touching piece just talking about how kind of the site is really dedicated to Andy's memory now and how people that weren't even involved in the wrestling kind of Twitter world were contacting and saying just how great of a guy he was and all that stuff. So it's just, it really sucks to hear that. But, you know, his memory lives on, I guess, through all the work that you guys continue to do, which is kind of awesome because, like I said, you're already doing great work. I guess we could switch over to some happier stuff here, huh? So you're heading out to SCI this actual weekend. By the time this comes out, it'll have been a bit ago, which almost didn't happen for you because just like I think you're the first minor we've had on a guest, you're also the first Canadian we had on a guest. So you had to deal with the old Canadian border. So let's hear a little bit about this headache, Jess, because I know it's been a major issue for you. This may not be a more positive topic for yourself, or maybe it is now that it's all, you know, in your rearview mirror, but let's kind of chronicle the stories here. What ended up happening, and what was the scare that almost kept you from going to SCI this year?
Okay, so what happened is, I kind of procrastinated a bit, but I'm not going to blame it too much on myself because the damn government screwed me over here. I went to the place, had all my identification, you know, I'm not going to bore people by explaining the process of getting, you know, a passport, which people should know this. I mean, it's all legal documents, everything you need. You go in, you know, give your passport photos, etc. I'm supposed to have identification ID with a picture. I do not have my driver's license just yet. So, I mean, I am of legal age. I'm not 12 and on this podcast. But, you know, I was supposed to be able to combine, you know, basically identity to be able to just be granted, you know, the passport. So that's what I did. Went in, got screwed over. They said, since you do not have your driver's license or a BC ID, which they didn't even put on the form that you needed at all, if you were my age, then, you know, you are turned away. So I was just like, okay, whatever, I'll get this done. I have to go get the BC ID the same day, which was actually, you know, like two Fridays ago. So I do go do that. They explain that it's 3 to 4 weeks to receive the ID. I'm like, no way that's possible, because some of my buddies and some other people, no matter the age, got theirs, you know, within 7 to 10 days. Skip forward, just had to, you know, the headache was the fact that it was going to come or not, you know, basically guaranteed me admission to SCI and even be able to travel there. So it ended up coming today as we record this, which is like 2 days before I fly out. Not even a day now. I mean, in between that, it depends on when I can book my flight now. So yeah, that was the headache of waiting for the ID to come in the mail so I can go get the passport and pay $130 for the 1 day turnover. Struggle is real.
Jesus. And this is all just to go to, I mean, I hate to minimize it, but I think other people, especially like Adrian on the call, would have no idea. But just to go to like an indie wrestling tournament in Chattanooga, Tennessee for the weekend, you know?
And it's basically, because what ended up happening is not only am I going to SEI, but, you know, my site gained a partnership with it, which, you know, me and Dustin Spencer kind of came to a head and not negotiated, but just came up with something. And, you know, two sides talked and we have a sponsorship there. So, I mean, me to not be there would have absolutely sucked because, you know, I gave a helping hand in, you know, pitching a few things, not creatively or anything, but just like, you know, formulate the itinerary of the weekend and get most of the staff to come. You know, for me to not be there, that would suck. So after all the planning.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting, honestly, to see this. And it'll be out on Woo Wrestling, right, on video on demand here. Anybody who doesn't have a chance to get there, it'll probably have already happened by the time this podcast is out. So everyone should be looking for that online. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see because last year's, I mean, I obviously already got chastised for kind of downgrading the building. But last year, it really looked like it was in front of, you know, maybe 100 people in the middle of nowhere and just this kind of weird cavernous building. And this year, I know it's going to be probably about the same size building, but to see the influx of all these random people that are coming out, you know, from the Wrestling With Words website, the staff, and then also all the people that you promoted to. I mean, I think this thing's just going to keep growing and growing. Meanwhile, I'm out here going to, I think, PWG Bowl up.
Gorillas of Destiny.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm even talking about...
No, Tim, let me repeat this. Gorillas of Destiny. You're going to see that while I get to see Chris here live. There we go.
It's definitely true. I mean, I'm out here in Los Angeles going to PWG, which people are aware of, and I think it's already hit critical mass. And as weird as it sounds, I'm like more excited for you guys going to SCI because I've always been a person who cared more about, you know, seeing the little guys on their way up. And I feel like PWG is already at its pinnacle as far as they're concerned because they're refusing to grow even further. I mean, for someone like yourself, you're definitely still pretty young, but you seem to have already a good head on your shoulders, pretty good experience. What do you say is your, like, where do you place your importance? Do you care more about seeing the little guys on their way up or kind of the indie rock band? And once they get, you know, to that next level, it's not that, you know, not the hipster, oh, I don't care any about them anymore because other people do, but more of that kind of like, well, the struggle's gone. And that was a big part of what I enjoyed is I like seeing people on their way up. And then once they make it, I'm happy for them. But now it's like, well, this is my chance to now support the next little guy who deserves, you know, my voice behind them. And you put the whole voice of the website behind the SCI, and it really is that concept. Is that something that's really important to you?
Well, it was more so because it's just an awesome tournament filled with names that I wanted to support, and I have lots of, you know, friends involved. But in terms to get into that, like, aspect of psychology, I mean, I think everybody kind of takes pride in seeing an act, whether it be music, even an actor, you know, a wrestler, you know, on the come up. Just to draw a parallel, there's a guy on the staff named Brandon, and he had a huge connection to Mustafa Ali. Broke down in tears when he appeared on the, you know, WWE Cruiserweight Classic after seeing him in freelance every month there in Chicago. So you're, of course, going to take a huge pride in seeing an act come up, you know, like I said, whether it's, you know, music, movies, wrestling. So I also enjoy doing that. I enjoy some of the names, and I think people that, you know, are going to watch the tournament are going to be, you know, blown away by guys like Odinson, who they may have not seen before, unless if you're like a Dylan Hales and deep dive YouTube for wrestling.
I completely forgot Odinson's there. That's going to be nice. Now I want to nerd out about that. So do you know Odinson's opening match for the SCI off the top of your head?
Yep, Chip Day.
Ooh, that'll be fun. That's going to be really weird. I guess first thing, before we get into other stuff, what we should do is take a break and listen to the ads from some other podcasts over there on the PTBN Podcast Network.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following...
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner, at least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to the Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. And we now offer them to you on two great feeds as well. On the Place to Be podcast feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous vintage vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with clotheslines and headlines, main event, Mission Indie Possible, in our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on WWE, NXT, and Ring of Honor Super Shows. Relive Wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse and the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling Podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. We also have sports covered too with the Sports Lounge, the TJ McClune Show, and NBA Team Podcast. On our brand new PTB Pop podcast feed, we offer great shows such as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both feeds on iTunes and be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to check out on the right-hand side of the site for details on how to support the site when you shop at Amazon and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, and Scott Keith's blog, of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Well, so Trask, the next thing I wanted to get into was kind of, I guess, just your personal background. We talked about the site and maybe your wrestling fandom a little bit there. We really just scratched the surface, but I want to save me and you bantering about wrestling for another project that we're working on. We're not going to, you know, give that away for free here. So let's talk about your background. Now, you grew up in British Columbia, correct?
Yes, Vancouver, you know, all my life, Vancouver, Greater Vancouver surroundings, all here, nowhere else.
And that's, I mean, is that the second biggest city in Canada, or is that...
Nope, it's more down the list. Toronto and Montreal dominate, and then, you know, there's a list. Toronto, Montreal dominate everything in Canada, and then there's the importance, and you know, it's everything behind Toronto and Montreal. But yeah, we're definitely getting big. British Columbia is thriving as a province, so it's nice to live in somewhere that's West Coast. I've never been a East Coast guy anyways, but I don't know, I've never lived on the East Coast, but I never seemed like it would be a fit for me. I really enjoy the West Coast. I enjoy being in Vancouver all my life. And really, it's just pride of being in the city. You know, your entire life, you kind of get used to everything, and you tend to just think it's better than most places, and that's just the hometown bias, so.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I live here in Los Angeles. I didn't really grow up here, and I agree 100% kind of with what you're saying about L.A. I love L.A., you know, so maybe I would like it more on the East Coast, but I highly doubt it. But it is funny to think about that, because you're so far up north, really, from us, but you're still technically like a West Coaster as well. And I've done a little bit of comparison from my interactions with Canadian people and kind of Canadian culture. And I found that there is really a similarity between East Coast Canada and West Coast Canada, between East Coast and West Coast of America. Have you picked up on anything like that, or do you just kind of notice the cultural differences in Canada between the East and West Coast?
Oh, no, you can draw the comparison for sure. Like, you can just compare, like, right away, like, you know, tri-state, like, you know, New York, and anywhere from, like, New York to New Jersey, and compare that to, like, you know, anywhere in Quebec, and then, you know, just compare and contrast California and, you know, Vancouver, BC kind of, you know, area. I mean, it's kind of a differentiation. It's not as extreme, per se, as... just the way of life and kind of attitude is East Coast and West Coast, and, you know, the perceptions and, you know, basic ideology of, you know, that geography. But, like, here, it's more so just a language barrier of, like, you're either a Francophone or you're English, and you're more likely to be such if you're in, like, you know, New Brunswick or anywhere like that, or, you know, Quebec or even Ontario, and then you're kind of West Coast, you're more so basically English-based. But, I mean, French-Canadian culture has taken off, and there's so many, you know, just French schools popping up everywhere. So, but that's kind of like the major differentiation, aside from, you know, the obvious comparisons you can make.
And do you speak French at all?
No, hardly any at all. I kind of learned quite a bit growing up, but I've lost it. I don't know. I just like English.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you. I know that it's more common for people to be bilingual in general in Canada.
Oh, of course, because, you know, French is another official language, so most people tend to pick up on it. I was just too dumb to keep it.
How common is it really for people to speak French?
It's obviously much more common than, per se, America. I mean, you know, it's official language, second language, so a lot of people, I mean, I wouldn't say half the population, but definitely, like, it's just up there in the numbers. I don't have any official stats to give away or make an entire, you know, PowerPoint presentation on it, but, you know, it's a good number of people. You're more than likely to encounter, like, 4 or 5 out of 10 everybody you talk to speaks French.
Oh, okay, because I've always heard it was mostly just in Quebec.
Oh, yeah, it's just huge. That's just, like, massive. Basically, everybody speaks French there, but, you know, of course it kind of dies down across Canada, but if you take entire Canada into perspective and, you know, Ontario and Quebec being some of the most populated provinces and cities, you know, it's gonna like balance out the equation.
All right, Trask, so what I usually ask people, what was the plan, right? But what's the plan, you know? What are you gonna do? You're finished up, I guess, primary school. Have you done any vocational school? Is this it, or is your plan wrestling with words and maybe some kind of journalism or something along those lines? You're trying to be the next Alvarez, or maybe to a lesser extent Bixenspan? What's Trask's goal? What's the end of life game here? Or not even end of life game, but what's the career path?
Jesus, you want me to die in like 2 years? Not ready for that. I've kind of been, you know, just bouncing around. I've had multiple jobs. I've, you know, tried to explore as many areas as possible. I kind of just want to break into media in, you know, any sense or form. I mean, I've tried my hand at, you know, commentating a little bit, but not anything professional. I'm starting to break into that a little bit. I'm getting into wrestling business as a side in many forms. Running the site definitely helps as not only a kind of testament to my work ethic, to say, to show off to people, but to kind of have a profile such that people can look up and see, you know, written work or podcast work. I definitely want to break into radio in some sense, so I'm just going to be taking a bunch of different media outlet strategy kind of routes, I guess you could say. And next year, I'll be taking a gap year. The year after, I'll be going to institute here, BCIT, obviously British Columbia Technical School for kind of radio arts and entertainment. So it's kind of a course that branches into multiple subjects. I could break into, you know, kind of even news if I wanted to, you know, anything. So.
Well, see, now that's part of why I think it was important for Adrian to be here on the call. Because Adrian, that's, I mean, pretty close to what you ended up doing, correct?
Yeah, well, I went to film school, you know, wanting to be a director and a filmmaker and stuff. And then when I got out, I moved back home to the desert, which was my first mistake. And then I always just tell people I kind of fell into news because I've been working in news since 2008. So
what are you what's tips, advice, what do you say about getting the most out of the school, and do you have any questions about maybe the difference between doing the two things in America as opposed to doing it in Canada?
Well, I were to offer advice, if you're still interested in working in film, the best thing you can do is just network with people who are talented and stuff, and try to get it on any projects that you can, you know, any kind of film projects and stuff, whether it's 48 Hour Film Festival. I don't know if they have that in Canada, but they have something like that, you know, where you can get into like film competitions and stuff, you know.
And Trask, you do have some experience working on films as of right now, correct? Or
yeah,
I guess,
so
not necessarily films, but
I guess I'll provide the entire backstory, which may take up a chunk of time. So well, basically tracking this back on high school here, Kitsilano Secondary in Vancouver. Basically had a lackluster drama program when I joined, but the teacher kind of phoned in everything, and all she wanted to do was improv, you know, no film projects, no nothing. So, well, what ended up happening? Yeah, pretty much. I mean, all she'd do all class, just be like, here, play games, that's it. You know, we're not going to learn anything. We're going to put on a yearly Grease production, that's it, because, you know, I don't care about my job. And this is typical high school, you know, theater. So what ends up happening, she takes a job out of China, of all places, to teach ESL and get surgery on her eye, because she's a weird person. That's how she leaves. and then in comes this guy called Mr. Parker. I'm not going to reveal a full name, because he will shoot kill me if I do so, especially in a public forum. He basically...
So it was a gimmicked name?
No. It's legit last name. Do not DDoS him or hack him, any people.
I'll try not to.
Nonetheless, he basically came in, transformed the entire program. First year we put on, don't know if you two are familiar with Love Actually, the Christmas movie that's come out. Yeah, okay. We did a stage production of that using half film with a huge projection on the side and basically, you know, a theater implementation as well, going back and forth. Sold out the auditorium for the first time since Jesus Christ Superstar in 1999. Went on to become the most successful theater program in British Columbia after being, like, maybe the fourth best in the city. After 1 year, year after, he comes in, first day of a meeting with everybody. He says, you know what, we're going to make a TV show professionally shot, because why not? And we're going to invest $20,000 in the cameras because I somehow have that money. So I'm like, okay, this is a huge step up. So, you know, being me, I kind of directed plays and such. So I said, you know what, whatever, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to try to do this. Partner up with somebody, direct the main storyline of the show. It wasn't my favorite personal preference pick. It was kind of a made by students for students ish type of show. Yeah. So whatever. But at least I gained experience from it. It was called Focus, essentially a mix between Degrassi and Skins, which is kind of embarrassing to say.
What is that? Sorry.
Degrassi is like the vintage, you know, high school TV show had Drake in it. Skins.
Whoa. Did you say the vintage one had Drake in it?
No, I said a vintage show, which can be traced to pop culture references with Drake in it.
Okay, because the remake had Drake in it, buddy.
Yes, I know that. Trust me, I'm not some like... Yeah, exactly.
Wait, I'm just messing with you,
Trask. Is Drake Canadian?
Yes, did you not know this?
I did not know that.
He's also Jewish.
No, really?
I didn't know that. Yeah, or like half Jewish.
You're blowing my mind right now. I know a lot of Canadian actors, you know, like Jim Carrey, you know, John Candy was Canadian. Rick Moranis is Canadian, I think, or what? Or, yeah, is.
I don't think that's right.
Rick Moranis, yeah, he's Canadian, isn't he?
Okay, I don't think that's true, but maybe. Well,
but Jim Carrey was, and John Candy.
Jim Carrey definitely used to be Canadian, and then now he's not.
I mean, he used to be good.
Yeah, right.
So back on. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so
this has been another episode of Guess Who's Canadian, and back to the story.
Is Michael Elgin Canadian, yes or no? Back to the story. Jesus Christ, where was I? So basically, yeah, he comes in with the idea, I want to be I get the role of basically a main storyline director where we balance about like six characters at once. We go all over Vancouver to shoot. We had a like... $3,000 drone that got shots around the city that somehow saved the series, because if I'm going to shoot right now, a lot of it was terrible. So what ended up happening was the editing of the show would, you know, so what ended up happening is 10 episodes and 40-minute episodes. So basically and for like one school year, there was a lot of transitional shots, which ended up being the drone. So we'd go from sometimes a terribly acted scene with the principal of the school playing a role of a butcher who ends up coming out and reading lines off of a script on camera because the editing was so poor, to a drone shot in like 4K of the entire city at night overlooking the street traffic. that's a comparison and contrast of the show's quality. But nonetheless, it was a great experience. Got to work with some expensive cameras. I wasn't really a camera operator because I'm a terrible cameraman. I was more so just trying to piece together locations, piece together, you know, lines of the script that were awful. Like here's a classic that I remember. This cafeteria smells like food. I'm hungry. Which is a legendary line.
That's actually great writing right there.
It's just on point. Exactly. So yeah, working with other students of not the... I'm not saying I'm like a legendary tier, you know, person that was involved in the project, but working with some others of a certain caliber was hard. But the writing wasn't the best, but we made do with what we had. We ended up producing 10 full, you know, full-length episode shows.
That's just the internet itself. You should be proud of that, because... 10 40-minute episodes is a lot of production work, because that's hours
in about,
and hours.
Here, let me kind of do the calculation. In about, oh boy, November, December, January, February, March, April, May-ish, mm-hmm. kind of the timeline. So only really that amount of time.
Really quick, sorry. So how old did you say you were again?
17.
So you're still okay. And what's like your... You said you directed plays and stuff. Is that kind of what your sort of goal is to become more of a...
No, Definitely not. Not to like automatically shut that idea down, but that was more so just a hobby slash thing I kind of picked up during school that I thought I might have wanted to do at the time, but now my mind is kind of more geared towards the wrestling business and kind of other media in forms of writing, journalism, news-ish kind of an area instead of actual like theater. But yeah, that definitely was something I had in consideration for at once, but I realized it wasn't really my most talented aspect. I was an AD though. It wasn't my full-on storyline. I was helping someone else, and they took a lot of the reign in terms of actual directing. I kind of played a role of a bunch of guys at times too, so I'd basically be lighting, I'd be etc. So getting a deal with a local movie theater, showing all the shows there. Didn't necessarily sell out every time, but it was definitely a private screening that went well. Good reception. There's even some, I don't know what to say, because some people kind of kept the identities out of under, kind of a radar in sense, but the word was to me that there was, a few people from Hollywood there in Vancouver to attend, so yeah. Could be interesting that they saw, that type of work.
Yeah, doesn't Vancouver is a huge filmmaking scene,
oh,
right?
Yeah, it's like third or something in the world right now, so,
yeah,
which is pretty
huge. It's like the LA, it's like the Hollywood of Canada, isn't it? Or is that...
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, so you said that you're more into the wrestling stuff now, but is there anything about filmmaking that you'd want to apply to what you're into as far as wrestling, or is that just kind of more of a...
Maybe to direct or produce certain segments that would take place on a wrestling show. I could definitely see crossover there. I could see, even if I were to pick up a camera, I'd have known things like, just basic rules, ISO stuff, so...
Well, that's cool, man. Sounds like you've done a lot already. You've done more. I can't say that I've ever done 10 40-minute episodes. Like, that's impressive in and of itself.
I'm just lucky I didn't have to edit it. I mean, I'm glad that was off my shoulders.
What did you guys end up doing with the old Vanguard 1? Is it still at the school?
Apparently it, I'm not sure where it's gone now, but the owner of the drone, I guess, has taken it. Originally it crashed, which is funny, and they had to order a replacement or whatever. Not order it, but maybe get like a backlog order or something. I don't know. It crashed on the first flight, which is funny. So,
jeez, of course it did. Well, okay, so we're gonna take another quick break here and listen to a few more ads about more or less like the PWO side of the feed, and then we'll be right back to kind of finish out our conversation with Trask here.
This is Parv, and I'm here to tell you to listen and subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation podcast network. That's the PWO PTBN podcast network, where you'll find a ton of in-depth shows done by hardcore fans. We've got Chris Zellner's 1-2 Punch of Exile on Bad Street, and with David Bickenspan, a smash hit Between the Sheets. We've got Wrestling Culture with Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave, Goodwill Wrestling and the reaction shows with Good Old Will from Texas. We got This Week in Wrestling with my man Pete and Johnny Sorrow, Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston's Pro Wrestling Super Show, Tag Team's Back Again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze, and a ton of other great shows too. And of course, there's Titans of Wrestling and Where the Big Boys Play with yours truly and some dude from down south called Chad. PWO, PTBN, Podcast Network.
It's always interesting hearing the acting side of things, because when I work on projects, like, I never really think too much about the acting. That's always more of an afterthought for me. So what was it like trying to break in as an actor?
And when I say young, I mean extremely young in context of a child actor. Like,
right.
My first experience was about at the age of 4. I went to a Nickelodeon audition. What ended up happening is I apparently got rejected upon first, I don't know what to say, exposure to the person, because my what ended up happening when I was 2, I was at the Calgary Zoo in Alberta, and I tripped on a speed bump and ended up chipping my like 2 front teeth, and they were still growing in. So what ended up happening is I was at this Nickelodeon audition. I opened my mouth. He asked to see my teeth. He saw that they were crooked, and he's like, "Nope, you're not ready for TV. You don't look." So I didn't understand at the time. My mom tells me this later. So the first time Nickelodeon there, the look wasn't there. Facial, not the Miz. So then I ended up going to my, oh god, I forgot what it was. maybe some cereal or I don't know. But when I was like 7, I did another audition, and you know, this was $10,000, and they fly you out to LA to film a commercial if you win out of this big batch of kids. Ended up reading the lines, I get the pass through, I end up making like the top, what was it? I think it was the round of like, maybe the second last callbacks or something, and it came down to like me, and if I made this last group, I'd have a really good chance. Then I got the call that, you know, I wasn't picked for that last group, so I didn't do good in that audition. I haven't really done much since because I kind of turned a blind eye to acting for a few years. I'm also focused on sports like a typical kid. And then I kind of returned back during high school through the drama theater stuff on the other end of stuff. I wasn't really acting, more so directing, you know, doing whatever film stuff, etc.
Well, what do you like more, acting or directing? If you had to pick
one. Oh, directing for sure, for sure.
Do you remember what show you were auditioning for when you were 4?
Oh, no, I don't know. I think it was just a general Nick thing, like an open, like maybe I don't know. I honestly can't recall. It couldn't have been something big. It was more so just a Nick labeled project. Maybe it wasn't even a certain show, but I don't know. It definitely was Nickelodeon. So
yeah, it's funny because Nickelodeon could have almost been like its own like Disney Channel. You know what I mean? But it never really took off that way. Like it had it like in the 90s, it was like the peak. And I think after that kind of just fell off. I mean, you know, they came out with shows like SpongeBob, which is still insanely popular. And I think Avatar is also another insanely popular show on there, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I've never really been a big fan. Or I wasn't a big fan. Not that I watch Avatar now.
Tim likes Avatar, right, Tim?
No, I've never watched it.
I'm just kidding.
But, yeah, you know, huge fan. Honestly, I mean, I have no exposure to it. Is there still Nick? Does that channel still exist?
Yeah. No, yeah, they're still going. I mean, it's just it's not really what are you. And that,
what do they show now?
I don't know. I said SpongeBob is like the flagship show. I think now.
Was that the channel that had Ned's Declassified?
Yes.
Guide?
School Survival Guide. Remember that?
Yeah, yep. I remember that show. And what else was there? I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of, really. I don't know anything else. That's like
what do
you... Nickelodeon.
Yeah, what do they show now? I have no clue.
Well, like I said, Avatar is like their big show right now, I think. And SpongeBob is still going strong as far as I know.
I found a list. Fairly Odd Parents, TMNT, Pig Goat Banana Cricket.
No, thank you.
The Loud House. Nicky, Ricky, Dicky, and Dawn. Sounds like a porn mode than anything.
What the fuck is that?
Nick, Dicky, and Ron.
How is Dawn spelled?
I'm saying, like, it could have been like its own. It could have been as big as the Disney, because the Disney Channel had a lot of.
What's a channel? I mean, it's still a TV. Adrian, you're like, sometimes the way you talk, I don't understand what the fuck you're trying to say.
What do you mean?
It's like it's still a TV channel. How much bigger did it need to be? I mean, they're both
as
just
big
TV
as
channels.
I'm talking about Disney big, because Disney.
Yeah, but you're referencing like.
Tim, you don't understand the legacy of children's television stations, okay? Look, Disney has maintained its exposure,
yes,
and it had Hannah Montana
I'm
to
sorry,
carry
I'm not
it.
Putting it right. I'm sorry, I'm not, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I'm saying Disney is also built on a bigger company. Like, part of what makes Disney Disney is that they have huger divisions that are also,
it's Walt
movies.
Disney.
And yeah, it's Walt Disney Company. Like, it's not the Disney Channel just by itself. Nickelodeon is just the channel part of Disney. So I would say they're fairly evenly matched if you took out the rest of Disney's business and you just compared channel to channel. They're both just TV channels.
I quit the podcast.
I don't know. I find that hard to believe. All right, because I feel like what Nickelodeon was at its peak in the 90s, if it was still like that today, I feel like it could be as big.
It would be relevant. It's not
relevant as what the Disney Channel is, and even Disney as a company as a whole. I mean, yeah, I know it's not as big. It doesn't have as big of a parent company, but I think Viacom owns it now, and Viacom is a huge company in of itself, but I'm just saying, like, they could have reached that level of, like, I don't know, prominence in pop, in young, you know, teeny bop culture, you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
No, it still doesn't.
Oh,
okay, name three shows that are on Disney Channel right now.
Let's see, Miley Cyrus?
That's not a show.
I don't know. Miley Cyrus.
Exactly. So you don't know shows from either channel. So to you, they're the fucking same size. Like, they have the same penetration, if the same 30-year-old guy that lives in Denver, Colorado doesn't know a single fucking show on the channel, I think that they're hitting their demographics pretty well.
Oh, what about
Jesus
the,
Christ?
The Keep on Raven or the Raven Simone show, whatever it was called.
That's so. You really think Raven Simone is still on the Disney show?
That's so Raven. She confirmed last.
But she was.
She came out and paused it on Ellen DeGeneres like a year ago. I don't think that she's fucking still on the
Hannah
channel.
She's on The View now or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Hannah Montana. You think Hannah Montana is still on the Disney channel?
It was.
Explain to the
camera. Yeah, no, Tim, listen. It still airs as a repeat.
See? I know, on technicality. Thank you very much, Trask.
Yeah, but I could also list like 100 shows that were on Nickelodeon when we were kids, you know? So that's, I'm saying modern shows. You can't name either of the modern shows.
Well,
I could name
I don't
shows
keep up with it, do I?
No, but no, also the argument was they could have took their prominence and launched off with it at the time, going into like this kind of, you know, teeny bop pop culture and not early 90s, because you know, they still had like Hannah Montana, Phineas and Ferb, Wizards of Waverly Place with, you know, Selena Gomez that was popular. Yeah. The shit could still be relevant now, but there's nothing that's caught on, I guess. I don't know.
Trask gets what I'm saying, Tim, and how do you not get it? You know what I mean?
Because he's referencing shows from the Disney Channel right now, saying that their Disney Channel's not relevant, when you were trying to say Nickelodeon wasn't relevant.
No, what I'm saying is they're both not relevant.
Exactly my point.
But they could
both
be relevant.
Not relevant. Yes, okay. That I can agree, but Adrian's comparison of saying Nickelodeon could still be like the Disney Channel right now, they could both be irrelevant when that's the case, like they both are.
I don't know.
Well, we'll just launch another podcast.
Watch another podcast, yeah.
I don't think we can. Trask, we're supposed to be talking about you, though. I mean, what the hell is going on? We've devolved to this point. We're talking about Disney Channel.
No, this is great.
This is what happens when I try to let Adrian be in charge of the show.
Hold on. Okay, so you guys mentioned Trask. You guys mentioned the BoJack show. Are you involved with that, Trask, or
yep.
Is that just Tim?
Yep, it's me and Tim on it. We're in a panel with
talk to me about
guys
that.
From the staff.
Because
I
love the BoJack Horseman show. So
okay,
talk
so
about that
the,
a little bit. How did that come about? How'd you guys, you know?
I just recently hopped aboard the BoJack train because I don't know, I hadn't had Netflix for a while. Jumped back on. I hadn't had time for certain things. So we were like, all these guys love BoJack. I'm a fresh, you know, face to BoJack even through season one, and they've, you know, they're experienced, you know, watchers of the show, so why don't we come together and give a bunch of different takes on the show? And I haven't really seen a BoJack podcast, nor a podcast with the name BoJack Horsecast, which I came up with somehow.
That's
so
perfect. Can you give us a little tease right now, like of like what you guys have talked about from the show? Like maybe like a little.
The show is still in pre-production. That's the
thing.
Yeah.
Well,
so
we're gonna record post SCI, which so maybe you'll hear more by the time this comes out about it, but it's still on the down low a bit. So next few weeks, we'll for sure.
Okay. Yeah, we're teasing it, but I mean, here's the thing about BoJack Horseman and BoJack Horsecast is the show is deeper than I think a lot of people even realize.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of just a comedy show. Maybe people just think it's silly. It's a guy who's a horse. And the podcast is going to get into those topics. I think we've got a panel of, it's going to be about four guys who all seem pretty diverse to me. I mean, totally different people from totally different backgrounds. All really love this show and have different ways of relating to the show. So that's what the show is going to end up really being about. It's going to be less, I mean, it is going to be about BoJack. We love BoJack. But what it's really going to be about is how it can affect you and how coming at it from a different perspective, you can really see the show in totally different ways. All right, so Trask, this is what we're going to get into before we go. We're going to figure out. You mentioned playing sports and getting out of the acting thing for sports and all this and that, which, I mean, isn't shocking. We're all just normal people. But it is maybe slightly out of character from what you completely put out there. Is there anything else that you think people who really just know Trask from the guy from Wrestling With Words, maybe some of the podcasts here and there, stuff about you and your personal life that they would be shocked to find out?
Shocked to find out. My dad nearly drowned me by pushing me into a pool. That's a fun fact.
Your dad's
my dad. I haven't seen my dad in 12 years. Wanted to bring some dark humor here. I always do that to get a reaction, just to see what people will say. Some people are completely shocked, others just laugh because they're twisted like me. I honestly don't know what else. I mean, I guess you could say me being a, you know, sports coach now was kind of shocking, me bossing around a bunch of little kids, even though I'm still technically considered a kid.
God, Trask, really? What do you coach?
I coach basketball and soccer. Or okay. Football, for those who are going to be pissed.
With young kids? How old?
Oh, yeah, just elementary school kids. Cap is grade 7.
Okay, and so at, like, from the school, or is it a middle school?
Through my old elementary school, I'm basically head coach of the program, so it's nothing much, but it's, like, a really, like, redeeming thing when they're not brats, just to see progress and stuff, and kind of work with, I enjoy working with kids for the most part, when they're, like I said, when they're not brats and annoying, so.
And that's the only progress that you enjoy watching?
Yes.
All right, and you're planning on going to wrestling school pretty soon, right?
Yeah, I'm
not a big thing.
Yeah, I'm playing around with some ideas. I'm basically going to be doing that, just, you know, take some bumps, kind of learn, you know, that side of things. But I more want to do, you know, ref, you know, backstage commentary, anything of that sense. But I'll still be able to, you know, implement stuff I learned from training and such. So, yes, and trying to get in shape. So if you follow me on Twitter, you'll see shitty screen caps of running every day.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And you like
right there is you should document your journey through a wrestling school, even if you just record it on your phone.
That's what I'm doing.
That's awesome. I'd love to see that.
Sometime. Yep, that's also what I plan to do. Yep. Cool.
And you like to make sure that you have good sound equipment for your podcast, correct?
Yes.
I'm a geek. You know how completely, how much you sound like Brian Alvarez, correct?
How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez. WrestlingObserver.com.
You gotta explain that one to me. Who's Brian Alvarez? What's the
he runs. He technically runs like the biggest kind of insider news website for wrestling, and he kind of Trask hits all the buttons for really similar to the guy because he like when he first started out his website and his thing he still does like would train little kids in jiu-jitsu. He's obsessed with getting like premium audio equipment to the point of like.
I can't believe I'm being compared to a geek.
Oh, is that what you were meaning when you meant get good audio equipment? I thought that was a jab at me for some reason.
No.
I thought you were making a joke about me and my audio equipment because I have decent audio equipment, Tim.
No, I know, but you use your audio equipment for other stuff too. This guy like was obsessed with trying to just make his podcast sound really good, to the point where
people. Honestly, like people get obsessed with technology and they don't bother to think about the stuff that actually matters, which is producing good content. You know what I mean?
Well, there's a certain level where, yes, the audio can sound better, but also is it going to matter? Because most people are just listening to it on their iPhone anyways while they're like working out or whatever. So, like, does it matter at that point? But I'm just lighthearted, you know, jabbing at Trask here. But
oh, no, I completely embrace that. I'm such an idiot for buying a pop filter for no reason when I sound exactly the same.
Hey, I guess more when thing. You said...
You know, Trask, you reminded me a lot of me when I was your age, you know, except you're a lot smarter. Because I thought you were older when we first started talking. I'm sorry, what?
I said I'm not a smart person, for the love of God. Please hand me over an IQ test.
Say, hey, he didn't say you were smart. He said you're smarter than him.
Okay, sure.
You have to remember that it's relative.
Thank God.
You're
definitely
more intelligent than Adrian. I can give you that.
Okay, there we go.
So Trask, now I want to dig into all this weird stuff about your dad, but we don't think we have time for that. So
we can come back for part two where I explain.
Can we do a sequel to this episode?
Yeah, we're gonna have to get into the deep dark stuff there next time.
I'm so down.
God, I swear there's something that I close out with normally,
we're gonna call this episode the Trask at Hand.
Perfect. All right, so now that everyone
Trask, do you like that? Is that cool?
Yes, not as good as the Trask Master or any other gimmick that we could come up with, but
I guess you obviously don't mind the bad puns because even your Skype handle is a bad pun, but I won't give it out on the air because
I don't want hate mail. I've already gotten enough.
You don't want hate Skypes.
Yeah. You can add me on my other Skype at Brian Alvarez.
Got it, perfect. Or at f4wboogie.com. So what we're going to close out with, though, is the one thing that we never forget to do, actually, which is give you a chance to plug everything, obviously. The website, Wrestling With Words, the Twitter, Trask Bryant. What else?
Well, you just did everything for me, you asshole.
That's only
let me have my 2 minutes of fame here. You can follow me
so
at Trask Brian. I basically plug articles and just say awful things and screen cap the fitness stuff and eventually wrestling school pictures and all that jazz, whatever. You can follow, you know, Wrestling with Words on Twitter at WrestleWords. I tend to think I built a pretty awesome roster here. We're going to be attending SCI. There's going to be a bunch of goofy Mark pictures and the like. It's going to be really fun. And the relaunch is coming soon. Wrestling with Words V4, completely revamping everything. Yes, the website does look nice, but we're going, you know, the extra 2 steps and dropping some more money. Yes, the stuff does cost money, even though we provide the site for free. And should be fun. And yeah, just keep checking out all the content I put out for those that have. And if not, I'd like to see you give me feedback on the site and what we can improve and what's been there so far. I tend to think it's, you know, we cover a lot of wrestling, you know, worldwide, as well as our audio network. And check out SmackDown 6, History of the GHC podcast, this, you know, Cruiserweight Classic reaction shows that even Tim has hosted and, you know, buried my position on. And yeah, all that jazz.
All right, thanks, Trask. Adrian, is there anything you needed to plug this week?
No, just follow us at Lucha Undead, and also on the same feed, check out our Top Beer episodes, which I think we've been doing pretty good with them so far. We have a new part of Top Beer called Top Beer Shots, which is Tim's conception. Tim conceived the idea, I guess you can say.
I did. It's a quick little bite-sized episode that'll come out every Friday after you hear these interviews. Me and Adrian will be doing kind of an amuse-bouche of just maybe one beer that fits the theme of what the next episode's beers are going to be. And then otherwise, yeah, go and listen to me at This Week in Wrestling on PTBN PWO feed. It's separate from this one, obviously. And check out anything I'm doing with Wrestling with Words. I'm going to have a few more reviews coming out here soon, and hopefully the BoJack Horsecast and some other projects that we got going on there. And then we've also got the ROH Honor Roll, which is going on at the Voices of Wrestling Forum. Jeez, I'm just like, I think I got my hands in too many pots. I'm connected to too many different networks. But I'll never...
thin there, Tim.
It's true, but luckily I'm wider than I am thin. So, the only podcast network I'll probably never do anything with is MLW, just because they seem like jerks. But otherwise, that's it. I'm going to go ahead and go.
All right. Good night, everyone.